Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady in studio. Thank you very much for joining us on this Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. Around 7:30, we'll talk with Rustin Dodd, beat reporter, covering the Royals for the Kansas City Star. And then Jeff Chedia is going to be in studio in the 9 o'clock hour. We have some Andy Reid sound from yesterday's press conference. He met with the media yesterday around noon, so we've got that to discuss. We'll hear what he had to say. And plenty more between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Monday Night Football was less than exciting, as the Detroit Lions beat a what looks to be a bad New York Giants football team, and a New York Giants football team that the Chiefs will play coming up later on in the season.
Less than exciting unless you're the general manager of the Little Fellers fantasy football team, Steve.
Right.
As I asked you guys at lunch yesterday, do you think the Lions defense can get me 21 points? Because that's what it was going to take for the Little Fellers to pull out a victory.
Do you get credit for special teams on your defense?
Yes. Punt return, touchdown, put me over the top and into a victory.
Wow.
That was an adroit pickup on my part because I needed some defensive help. And I saw that the Lions were playing against the brutal offense of the New York Giants. And Jake, you always say, fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire, right?
That's absolutely true.
Bam. 28 points.
Have you ever said that?
Yeah, I think I have, man. I'm still trying to figure out what the word adroit means.
So. I don't know, but I was going crazy when that punt return was happening.
Detroit.
Well, Detroit was adroit pickup.
He used the word adroit, and
I thought he said Detroit.
Too early for
that
word.
Too early, man.
But
Pounder's not awake.
But yeah, the Lions won 24-10, and so whatever. I mean, Stafford looked okay.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Highest paid quarterback in the league, right?
That was just a garbage football game, sorry.
Yeah, Giants suck.
Yeah, so, I mean, when they were in the game, couldn't get out of their own way. Drive all the way down to the one-yard line. They get a holding penalty, and then they go for it on fourth down or try to, and they get a delay of game penalty.
Right.
They just, that's not a very good. It doesn't seem like a very organized team right now.
I'm sure a lot will be made with Ben McAdoo's comments post-game about his quarterback play being sloppy, and I'm sure New York will run all over with that. And
mm-hmm.
Eli Manning will come out and have nothing to say about it. And
yep, everyone already is talking about Ben McAdoo, and ESPN will cover that for you plenty.
Yep, let's talk about an 0-2 football team.
I'll be honest with you. New York teams, unless the Chiefs are playing them or the Royals are playing them, I do not care.
Nope.
Not in the slightest.
Not in this town.
I don't care about the head coach of the Giants. He'll be fired pretty soon, and we'll never hear from him again. Who cares?
Yep.
Don't care.
Don't really care.
There's been some kind of bad primetime games so far, right? Like the Thursday night games haven't been any good, other than the Chiefs game was
right, awesome.
Last night
one.
Was pretty good, I mean. I like Falcons and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, that was a good
fun
game.
Matchup.
You're right about that. At least on paper it was.
Right. It's always fun to watch those two quarterbacks play.
Yeah. The class of the NFC.
Yeah, that's what Herm Edwards says. It's Atlanta again. We'll see who contends with the Falcons. I don't know that I would pick them to repeat in the NFC, but Herm Edwards seems to think it is Atlanta and everyone else right now based on what he's seen the first 2 weeks. And it's hard to disagree because there's a lot of mediocrity, not only in the NFC, but around the NFL. And the more I watch other teams and other games, the better I feel about the Chiefs being one of the best teams in the NFL. I think that's pretty clear. but also the better I feel about the NFC or the AFC West being the best division of football. I don't think that's close either.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any discussion there.
Yeah. And the Falcons losing Vic Beasley for who knows how long with a torn hamstring.
Thinking about a month on that. But
That seems optimistic for a torn hamstring. But
right.
That's four games, right? I mean, that's a big loss for them. So there's injuries mounting up all over the league, it seems like.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs and the Raiders, maybe, and the Steelers, and maybe even the Pats. Really, maybe more than anyone in the NFC. I know that the AFC is top heavy, and the NFC is more wide open. But I mean, I like the Chiefs and the Raiders more than anyone in the NFC East. I think they're better than anyone in the NFC North. I think they're better than anyone in the NFC West. And I think they're better than anyone in the South, and except for the Falcons. You could debate the Falcons. I mean, they are coming off a Super Bowl appearance, and they look good, 2-0 out of the gate. But are there any other teams besides the Falcons you put ahead of the Chiefs or the Raiders in your NFL power rankings?
Not right now, the way they're looking. By the way, I'm not.
Maybe Green Bay at some point.
Yeah, they got to be healthy.
And I don't know, I don't know how I have my AFC power rankings yet, but it's in some order. It's the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Raiders, and I'm still gonna go with the Patriots, even though everyone's declared them dead. I think they're better than Denver and better than Baltimore and anyone else that might have a say.
I'm still trying to decide just how good the Broncos are, because if Trevor Siemian...
Yeah, I don't have them in the top four. I didn't mention them.
Yeah,
I don't have them at three yet.
I feel like... I don't know. I'm not ready to put them up there yet, but I'm not ready to count them out of that yet.
Right.
If their defense is as good as it always is, and Siemian looks, you know, like a competent quarterback like he has so far, it seems like that's a team that could beat anybody in this conference.
Right.
Because they might have a better defense than anybody else.
No, I think clearly those are the top four teams, and maybe I'm giving New England more on reputation, but they look good against the Saints.
I think that's one team that's deserved it on reputation.
Right. Yeah,
I don't think they're as bad as they looked against the Chiefs. But I mean, nobody really talks about the Steelers. The Steelers are damn good.
Yeah, they are.
They're always good.
You know,
and I think that Joe Hayden pickup's going to be a bigger deal than people. I mean,
as long as he stays healthy, he's going to help.
He is, and that offense is looking awesome.
But I would say right now, If you had to press me on it, because of the Chiefs, they have the best win. They won at New England. Nobody has a better win than that. Mm-hmm. I would give them the number one spot based on what they've done this year. And then I think I'd go Oakland 2 and Pittsburgh 3. But there's like razor thin difference between any of those teams. I think that's like almost like 1A, 1B, and 1C. And then I'd go New England because they do have a loss, a home loss, so I can't put them in that same category right now. And then after that, Denver. And then I don't know about Baltimore yet. I'm not sold on Baltimore, but I'd go Denver, and then I'd be willing to listen to conversations about anyone else.
Now, Baltimore just suffered a significant injury as well. To an all-pro guard who, you know, and their running game has
Marshall
been...
Marshall
Yenda. Yeah, their running game has been their strength so far.
Jeremy Maclin has a touchdown in each of the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
It's a good cut, Chief.
Go ahead and declare him dead again, everybody.
Good cut.
Declare his... it's fine because the Chiefs apparently don't need him. And I feel good about the guys that stepped up. But all the people that said he was done, shut up.
Well...
So there. How's that sound?
You say that, but I saw Albert Wilson drop a huge ball on third down on Sunday. So right. Jeremy Maclin versus Albert Wilson at your second/third wide receiver spot.
They don't really play the same position.
I think they'd still have Albert Wilson out there because there's an obsession. He'd be out there instead of Conley, probably.
Yeah.
And trust me, they've... I've been looking for them to replace Albert Wilson in the lineup several times, and they don't.
I think he and Conley have about the exact same number of yards, but those two touchdowns from Macklin. Conley doesn't have any touchdowns yet.
No, but everyone say, hey, we'll have to see if he does anything with Baltimore, and so far he has. I mean, my point is he doesn't look like his career is over.
No.
As suggested.
I think last year was the injury was probably a pretty big deal, probably a bigger deal than it was made at the time. So.
Good for him. I'm glad he's succeeding. So, but I don't know that the Chiefs. I like the way the Chiefs have built this offense, and I like the direction they're headed. So
yeah,
I'm not
a lot of good youth on that.
I'm not as upset about that release as I was when it happened, but I'm also glad that he's showing that he's not done. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could end up, and look, it could end up being beneficial for both sides. He goes to a place he's going to get the ball more and have more focus. I mean, he wasn't going to be the guy here anymore. I mean, the focus is on Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt with good reason. And, hey, would I like to have him back? Sure. I mean, why? You can't have enough good wide receivers. We say this right now, but let one guy get hurt. You know, you never want to just discard good quality players. But
maybe if they weren't paying Justin Houston so much money, they could afford to keep him.
Justin Houston's making money that he deserves.
I know.
See, here's the deal, though. When you say that,
I'm kidding for anybody out there
they have no idea that you're.
My point is, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep everybody. It's hard to keep a lot of veterans because you got salary cap issues and all that, and that's obviously what they ran into with Macklin, you know. And they could have managed some parts of the cap better, but you could probably say that about every team. So,
hey, look, John Dorsey's not here for things that. I mean, clearly not for his issues with talent acquisition. We're seeing how these drafts have produced good, young, talented football players.
What I could have, should have, would have, who knows?
Anybody have anything bad to say about moving down in last year's draft and taking Chris Jones in the second round?
No.
Nope.
That's looking all right.
Anybody want to, I mean, criticize that? I mean, think about it. I mean, and look at the defensive. Or look at the offensive draft picks that are all around the field. You know, Kareem Hunt in the third round, Travis Kelce in the third round, Tyreek Hill in the fifth round. All the offensive linemen are draft picks, basically. I mean, they went out and got Swartz as a free agent acquisition, but those other guys are all draft picks that they've been able to put together. They traded for Anthony Sherman. I mean, this offense, for the most part, predominantly put together by draft picks. And not first-round draft picks. You know, I mean, like Eric Fisher, yes, but the skill position players, Conley, third round, Albert Wilson, undrafted free agent, all these guys were scouting success stories. And then you look defensively, I mean, Chris Jones, that looks like that's going to be a home run. That's going to be a grand slam for years to come. I mean, if you took him as a – I mean, we've seen redrafts. He plays like a top 15 pick or even a top 10 pick. And you moved out of the first round and nabbed him in the second round. I mean, that's gold, Jerry. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
And even to go back to the Fisher, I mean, that I know is the number one overall pick, but you look at the two
pick the
left
right
tackle,
guy.
Yeah, you took the left tackles last night. You watched that Monday night game. High draft picks were atrocious. And one of them's on the second team already, and he was, you know, taking a year after Jokel. I mean, not Jokel, Fisher, but Jokel's the other tackle I was thinking that was taken right after Fisher. And
they picked the right guy.
He's on the second team, too.
They picked the right guy.
Yep.
Marcus Peters in the first round.
Yep.
They picked the right guy. You know, D. Ford, he's been inconsistent, but he is, I mean, I bristle any time anyone suggests he's a bust.
No,
a bust does not have 10 sacks and starting, and he had a huge third down sack. If you want to talk about a first round bust picked in that area, John Baldwin. That is a bust.
Yep.
That is not D. Ford.
Yep.
Okay?
Sly Mo.
And so all these draft picks, so you could see, once again, that's a reminder, talent acquisition and scouting and drafting, that was not the problem for John Dorsey. It was salary cap. It was communication. It was more things that were going on behind the scenes. But it also scares you a little bit because... Even after these first few games, like, damn, these draft picks were good.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, these draft picks. I mean, so many really good draft picks were made under John Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't just him. You know, Brett Veach has been there too. Scouts doing their jobs. It's, you know, it's a full organization that has had success in the draft, but so far a lot of success.
Yep.
And again, you know, when you brought up your point about not taking running backs in the first round, I mean, this 1-2-3 punch of offensive playmakers, that's amazing. That's a third-round pick, a third-round pick, and a fifth-round pick. These three dynamic players that we ask every week, okay, if you're a defensive coordinator, who do you have to focus on? Kareem Hunt or Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, right? That's the 1-2, that's the three amigos. Third round, fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
Tip of the cap, Dorse, wherever you are. Woulda, coulda, and shoulda.
Did.
Glad you did.
All those guys.
Glad you did. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I don't know how many people care, but the baseball season is still going on, and there was a significant game last night in regards to the AL wildcard race as the New York Yankees beat the Minnesota Twins 2-1, despite a solid pitching performance from Irvin Santana. And so the Twins go down to the Yankees 2-1. Also in the American League, the Red Sox beat the Orioles 10-8 in 11 innings. And now when you look at the wild card standings, it's not pretty if you're a Royals fan, but it still looks pretty good if you were if you're a Twins fan. They are holding on to a game and a half lead right now over the Angels. And look, the Yankees, they've got things taken care of. They have a five-game lead now over the Twins after last night's win. They are 83-67, so it looks like they've won 8 of the last 10. They're comfortably in there as that number one wild card spot. But then everyone else kind of fallen off except for the Twins and the Angels. Looks like it's a two-team race unless someone gets red hot here. I mean, there's less than 2 weeks left.
Yeah, this is not any time.
Yeah, it'd have to be red hot. They just have to just go on a crazy streak now until the end of the season. You know, they have to win, like the Yankees have done recently, win 8 of 10. And you look, and man, there has been an opportunity for someone to step up, and no one's done it. You just look at the last 10 games. The Twins, they have a game and a half lead. They're 5-5. The Angels have gone 4-6. The Mariners, 5-5. The Rangers, 3-7. The Royals, 4-6. The Rays, 3-7. And then Baltimore said, hey, hold my beer. And they went 2-8.
Yeah.
Those are the records in the last 10 games of the AL wildcard contenders. So of between Minnesota and the Angels and the Mariners and the Rangers and the Royals and the Rays and the O's, not one of those teams found a way to go above 500 in the last 10 games as they're chasing down this wild card spot. Now, if that doesn't define mediocrity, not one of those teams could find a way to go 6-4. And if they did, or if they, God forbid, went 7-3, they'd be sitting real pretty right now.
Yeah.
No one. And that just irritates you even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, what do we always say about this with the Royals and the wild card spot? And how it's almost more important to look at the teams ahead of them versus how many games back. Like, not all those teams are going to play bad down the stretch. Guess what happened? All of those teams played bad down the stretch. And if the Royals had played well and not been ravaged by injury, they would have had a real shot at this damn thing. Everyone played bad.
Yep.
They're all playing bad. Everyone's playing bad right now. Oh, if that didn't
That typifies what this wild card race has been for the last spot in the American League wild card race, because we've talked about it all year long. There's not a really good team that's going to win that spot. There's a mediocre team that's going to win that spot. All you had to do is be the best mediocre team. And, I mean, you look at it for contrast. The Colorado Rockies stand to be the second wild card in the National League. They're 14 games over 500. 14 games over 500, right? The Twins are 6 games over 500, you know? I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers are 10 games over 500. They're 2 games out of the wild card. They'd be running away with it.
I guess, I mean, I'll just take the Twins. I mean, if it can't be the Royals.
Yeah, they got a game and a half lead over the Angels.
I like Buxton.
Sure.
See what he can do in the playoffs. I've enjoyed watching him. I mean, I don't care to see the Angels. I kind of like Seattle. I don't know.
I mean, I guess if you can see the Angels, you see Mike Trout, see, you know, star player. I'm not excited about any of these teams.
Anyone just to beat the Yankees? How about that?
I mean, it's one game. Anybody can do anything in one game, but it's a crowbar separation between the Yankees and all these other teams.
Right. Just beat them, you know.
Yeah, just look at their run differential. They're plus 175.
Beat them so I can read the New York papers and they say, how do they lose to this team? Yeah. You know, that would provide me with some joy.
That would be fun. Yeah,
there would be a meltdown there.
The Royals are done, though. I'm sorry. It's too bad. They're not good enough.
You know, the Yankees are only 3 games out of first place.
There you go.
By Boston.
They could still catch them.
Because, and by the way, if you're looking for compelling division races, you really have nothing but 2. So the Indians have a 15-game lead. The Astros have a 15-game lead. But then the Red Sox only have a 3-game lead over the Yankees. Mm. In the NL, Nationals have a 20.5-game lead.
Yeah, that's safe.
The Dodgers have a 9.5-game lead. But then the Cubs only have a 3.5-game lead over the Brewers. But, I mean, I just, you know.
Yeah, that's the one race, I guess.
And there's no race. Why give the Brewers again? They're 2 games out of the wild card. I mean, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it just feels like it's gonna lack drama. Not only because the Royals are gonna be out of it, and that makes us not care. But I mean, there's just nothing really compelling down the stretch.
Yeah, it's I mean, the wild card. You could say this for Major League Baseball. The wild card has done its job this year from the standpoint that, like you said, almost all the division races are pretty boring. If it wasn't for the wild card race in the American League, basically there would be no drama.
And they're doing everything they can to take any drama out of it right now.
Yeah, and there doesn't really deserve to be, because we're talking about a bunch of mediocre teams. But this way, at least up until September, you had like half the American League fan bases still thought their team had a chance at the playoffs. You know, in the National League, like you said, the only compelling race maybe is Cubs, Brewers, and then Brewers, Rockies for that last wild card spot. So
I'd like to see the Brewers make it.
Sure.
Either spot. Different teams. I like the Brewers.
I just don't like Ryan Braun. I'm not a fan of him. But
why?
Because he's a liar and a cheater.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the only one in baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's the deal. Sometimes I have to check you. He's not the only one in baseball.
What? Yeah, Jake, he's the
incorrect.
Only one.
That's totally.
I know I say a lot of wrong things on here.
That's wrong.
He's the only one.
Not that
lied and cheated in Major League Baseball. Are you sure?
I am. I'm very sure. I'm extremely sure of that one.
There you go. Wrong again.
Right. Right. You know what? You're way off base on this one. Baseball pun intended.
Wrong again, Jake.
Right. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A lot of thunder and lightning and rain. I know that driving to work, 29 South was shut down just past 6:35. Just a semi rolled over. And so if that's part of your commute, you better check Twitter or check 41 Action News traffic to make sure that 29 is not still shut down. 29 South just passed 635 right there where the gateway exit is to Riverside. And so that was no good for many people on their early morning remote. And, dude, I think I texted you guys. I woke up. I don't even know what time it was. And I had, I get migraines. But I've been pretty good over the past year or so. I was talking about that with my wife. Like, I've been pretty good as far as not getting so many migraines. Dummy. She should have smacked me right there. Don't say that. 2 days later. And so I'm hurting right now. But really, I've been wondering what could possibly help the pain. Seeing you two. Mm-hmm. Like a wonderful breath of fresh air into my morning. So,
did it help you to see the childlike smile on my face when you walked in this morning because of the wonderful gift that showed up in my mailbox?
Yes, it did. Anytime that anyone's happy around me, that does my heart good, is you receive the new Matt Beasler book, right?
No other home. Living, Leading, and Learning What Matters Most by Matt Beasler.
So is that officially out for everyone to purchase, or is that like a special addition to you?
I don't know. I mean, I think...
Don't act like you don't
know. It was out for pre-order, which I was going to do. So I don't know if it's actually for sale yet, but...
Who put that in your box?
It showed up in the mail. I'm guessing their publishing company probably heard, hey, there's...
Wait, hold on. That showed up like that, or you opened it up?
No, it was in a package.
Oh, okay. I'm like, so that just showed up in your box like that? It didn't come from a publishing
company? No, it was that.
The name
of the publishing company was on the envelope.
Yeah.
So, but yes.
It wouldn't be the first time somebody's opened mail addressed to somebody else. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That was addressed to Todd Lebo.
Right.
I just took it because I realized what it was.
Right.
But very excited about that. Very excited tonight, Stephen, by the way, for the Sporting Kansas City U.S. Open Cup fan rally that's going to take place down in the KC Live block in the Power and Light District. A guy named Nate Bucati is going to be co-emceeing that rally. That might be happening on stage. Yeah, co-MC with Hartzell Gray of 96.5 The Buzz.
Hartzell,
good dude.
Watched Minor Rewind play for a little bit out at Community America Ballpark for a private event that they were doing. And so Hartzell has worked with us several times on stage at KC Live. And you know what? It's not too often, but I'll tell you, you're right. He's a good dude.
And Jillian Carroll, who's a good gal, will be emceeing it with us as well. We'll be having some fun games and giveaways and stuff like that on stage. The Cauldron's going to be there leading some chants. Peter Vermees is scheduled to appear.
Will he lead chants and play games?
Peter Vermees? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's his favorite thing to do.
He's going
to
get
play
up there.
Games.
All right, here he comes. Play some games and lead some chants on stage. Have him, do a little beer pong or something. I don't know.
Peter Vermees, take on Peter Vermees in life-size beer pong
tonight
in the panel. But he is going to come address the crowd.
He's way more of a flip cup guy.
Flip cup guy?
Yeah. He's a flip cup guy. Beer die.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It starts at 6:30 tonight in the Power and Light District. And then, of course, I'll be hosting the Sporting Kansas City Show, a special U.S. Open Cup preview at 8 o'clock tonight from down in the P&L as well. So come on by. It'll be a lot of fun tonight because the Open Cup is tomorrow night.
Are you nervous?
Yes. Extremely
nervous.
Do
you get nervous?
Extremely excited, extremely nervous. Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Were you as nervous as I was before the fight when I told my boys I'm going to go vomit real fast before the fighters walk to the ring?
I'm not that nervous yet, but...
But I didn't.
You didn't vomit?
I was going to.
Okay, well, that's good. I don't usually... When I get really nervous, I don't have to vomit. It's usually the other...
What?
I usually have to go to the bathroom.
Wow.
Like one or two?
Number two.
It's weird.
I know. Every high school sporting event I ever played in, I had to do that before the game.
See, not everyone, but whenever I'd have a big event, or if I was going to spar, or I was going to box, or now it's like if my kids, I get more, way more nervous if my kids are going to do something.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Like Richie's got ice water in his veins. Whenever he performs, it's like nothing. And I'm like, you know, did you get anything? If you forget anything, did you? I'm just gonna, he's like, Dad, you got to stop. Go over there. I'll be over here. Okay. All right. I'll sit over here. You know, I'm fine. You know, don't worry about me. And then Selena performed on Sunday down at KC Live, Power and Light. She's been singing with School of Rock, and I'm just like a nervous wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I got to go for a walk. I told my family, I got to walk out of here. I can't handle these things. Mm-hmm. But so I get, I still can't handle my nerves very well. But it's also when, like if I'm going to go do a big speaking engagement or something like that, I like feeling nervous because I feel like what I've always talked to people about, it's like, I've always said, if you're nervous and you're that, it means you care.
That's right.
And it kind of keeps your edge or whatever. So I'm almost like addicted to that feeling, you know?
Well, you use it in a positive way. I was up till probably about midnight last night just doing research for the game, you know, getting ready.
Research.
Down to the basement doing research, honey. Leave me alone.
Nate, come to bed. I'm doing research. That's a lot of research down there.
So, oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Right?
All kinds of research.
Right.
But the nervous part, like you said, it's a good nervous. And I feel like as a broadcaster, this is, I mean, as a fan, as a broadcaster, as a player, whatever, like these moments are what it's all about, right? For you on Saturday night, your favorite fighter was fighting for a championship, was fighting really to be considered the greatest boxer maybe in the world.
You know, I had this long conversation. I got in an argument with my son. I'm not going to get into that. But the point is, I argue with my sons a lot about things, about sports. Mm-hmm. But, you know, good, not argument, discussions. Yeah. You know, I love Triple G, too. And I think Jake said that, and he was right. And I tweeted this out before the fight. If he'd have been fighting anybody else, I'd have been totally rooting for Triple G. Because I've made my boys watch him from his American debut. I made Jake. I said,
that's what I was
going to
say.
Remember that?
Include me in those.
I will call you
your boys.
You have to watch. This is his first fight. This is, what, five years ago or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be on American television.
Hey, this guy's going to be the real deal.
And so it was, and I got so lost in that fight, like during that fight, and that's why I'm so pissed off that one dummy judge is being focused upon when people aren't looking at how great the fight was.
Right.
And that was so wonderful, and I had so much fun, but I was, the anxiety during that fight was like up here. And I was, I don't know if I took a breath during those rounds. But yes, you're right. I was so wrapped up in it. And I can't wait till they fight again.
I mean, that's so the idea of winning a championship, winning a trophy, that's what sports is all about. Those are the memories that leave your legacy, that get talked about forever. And sporting has won, what, 4 trophies in 6 years?
Three trophies in 6 years.
They're going for their 4th. What's that?
Or is it 6 and 4? 4 and 6? You said 3 and 6?
It's 3 and 6.
Okay, 4 and 6.
They're going for their 4th in 6 years,
fourth,
I guess.
4th in 6.
You can get to the point where you think, like, oh, it's, you know, sporting, they, you know, this will happen. Even if they don't win this one, they could play for MLS Cup again later this year. You never know when you're going to get the opportunity to broadcast a championship. You know, this, who knows?
You're going to wear a suit?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You? For sure, yeah. Dude, it's
I mean, I don't know.
It's a cup championship. Like a, I mean, we're just...
I've seen you wear polos, too. And
yeah, we're doing radio. We're not on TV, but...
So you wear a suit.
Oh, you're wearing a suit on radio.
For sure, yeah.
No, why? Because you would think the suit would be on TV,
right,
and a nice, smart polo would be on the radio, right, but you're going suit
it's
on
cup
radio.
Final, man. It's a cup final. You
but
know,
no one can see it.
Right, no one.
I can see it.
Right.
Can you? I mean, you can't see it. I mean, you're going to be sitting next to a mirror?
I'm not standing in front of a mirror.
I mean, are you going to have a mirror next to you while you're broadcasting?
Maybe,
you can see the suit?
Maybe I always do.
That's weird.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure everything's right.
I feel like there's, as a broadcaster, there's pressure if you're broadcasting a championship to say something that is worthy of the moment. You know, because that's the type of thing that gets played back for years and years and years. You know, so
yeah, you could screw it up, and we could play that back for years, yeah, and years and years. That's what you're looking
absolute
for.
Absolute truth.
Not what
if
I'm looking
that's what
for.
You're,
it could happen.
About us playing it for years and years right. and years, we could certainly do that for yep. you.
I realize if I screwed it up, I have a much higher chance of it getting played back for years
right.
and years
so
and years on this yeah. show if oh. I screw it up. But on other
no, if you really
venues,
screw it up, SportsCenter, shows across the nation. I mean, that's right. really your path to stardom if that's what you're
Is that really stardom?
Well, I don't
like
know.
If I say Boom Goes
sure
Dynamite?
And sure
you know,
it is. That kid's a star.
Yep. Is he, do you remember his
absolutely
name?
Absolutely is.
Boom Goes Dynamite.
Yeah.
That's his name.
There's different kinds of stars, I guess.
Right.
So and Boom Goes the Dynamite.
What are you going to say? What's your catchphrase?
I can't tell you that.
What do you mean you can't tell me that?
Oh, I thought you were organic.
So you
guy.
Already have it?
I've thought about some things I want to say if they win this one.
So it's not organic.
When they win this one.
It's contrived.
Well, this one there's something a little more significant behind it. So.
But I'm going to keep it to myself.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be bad mojo to say it out
so
loud.
So it's if they win. Not
wait, hold on, hold on.
But it's if they win. You have
bad mojo. Bad mojo from the guys. Like, you know, let's not be superstitious because we really have no effect of anything that happens on the field.
Whose
now,
voice is that?
Now you're bad mojo guy. Because before it's
oh, was that Nate's voice?
Yeah, that was Nate's. It's a little deep for Nate.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a very deep voice.
But, I mean, you criticize us within the last couple of weeks. You guys, come on, you have no effect of anything that happens on the field. Now you're telling me.
He got mad because we said he's a jinx in some things.
Oh, but I have nothing to do with it. Now you're buying into the mojo. Which way are you going here, buddy?
I just don't want to say it before I,
right.
before. You know, before the moment.
Do you have a special goal
well, don't blame
goal
it
call?
On the mojo. Just say
no,
I don't
have a
say
special
it.
Goal call. I absolutely do not have a special goal call. I don't plan to ever do that, but this is different. I mean,
I bet if we have
winning a championship, I think, is something you need to be prepared for.
Right, like
I bet
Jim
if
Nance.
We have people suggest a goal call.
I mean, that's fine.
On Twitter, would you listen to it?
I'll read them. I don't.
What if it's a good one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm up for it. You know, I'm up for suggestions.
Are you up for it?
For sure.
At SSJWHB, at Jake Goody, at Nate_Bucati. If you have a goal call that Nate Bucati, hopefully there'll be several goals by Sporting Kansas City, so he'll have his choice.
Taco Sal's weighed in.
If you have a goal call that you'd like, and Nate, if it's good, you'll consider it. You're not saying for sure, but at least you'll.
I think Sal's is actually a decent suggestion.
And then you, and then how interactive is that? And then one of our faithful listeners could say that they are a part of a possible championship.
Yeah.
You talk about how special a championship is, then you can make one of the listeners part of this thing. And they can replay that, hey, that was my idea, that was my goal call, that I tweeted at him and he used it. It's part of my championship experience. See? Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's hear from Andy Reid, who spoke with the media yesterday. And the topic of Travis Kelce and another needless penalty in the game on Sunday for taunting. Of course, that is a sore subject for many Chiefs fans, and we're hoping that does not cost the Chiefs a game this season. But Andy Reid was asked about it again, and here Andy Reid tells us what he discussed with Travis Kelce.
It's one of those deals where, you know, what I said, I try to keep that in-house. It was obvious that I wasn't real happy about it. I'm not going to get into details of it, but I think we all know you can't do that. And he gets caught up in the emotion. Again, the one thing that you love about Trav is that he plays, and he comes to play. He comes back, and he's diving over people. He left at the 5-yard line, dives over somebody, scores a touchdown. So, but you can't take stuff away from yourself. You can't do that with your teammates. And so he kind of got it from all different angles. Some of the players got upset at him, and that we all love him, but you got to, you know, you can't do things that take away from what you're trying to get accomplished. You got to learn to curb your emotions somewhere. He's got to do that.
It's in-house, so I didn't expect him to tell us what he told him, but
he said, doggone it, Travis.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and say that doggone it was replaced by something else. Because he was furious on the sideline, but not furious enough for Travis to to prevent Travis from doing the eagle flap later on in the game. So,
right, I'm not right. Exactly while sure staring how. At the Eagles bench.
Right. Again, I don't know. So I don't how much know. Effect that had on 87. But. Oh boy!
You shouldn't be laughing at this. This is serious. Sorry.
We're getting a lot of good goal calls for you. I don't know if I can read them on the air, though. There's two I can't read on the air. So.
Yeah, so far I haven't seen one I can.
So far, so good. Kansas City, back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. All right, we'll have Rustin Dodd on the show coming up at 7:30. We are also going to have Jeff Chedia in studio at 9 o'clock. We're going to play some Andy Reid clips from his press conference coming up right now. All that and more coming up on the Border Patrol between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.